Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
The time is right. You hold me tight. Love got me high. Please tell me yes, and don't say no, honey, not tonight. I need to have you next to me in more ways than one, and I refuse to leave till I see the morning sun creep through your window pane. 'Cause love won't let me leave. Not one more minute, baby. Turn down the light and take my hand. We'll take a flight and spend the night in Wonderland. Now move a little close to me. You owe it to yourself, and I will selfishly take a little for myself, and it's because of you that love won't let me wait. No. Only you can set me free when I make love to you. We'll explode in ecstasy, and I won't take the blame. That love won't let me wait. No more.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everybody can hear me pretty good, very well. This is Jadonna Rafia, and you are listening to Crown Knowledge Radio. Yes, a lot of you, this song may have been before your time, but this is Major Harris, and that is Love Won't Let Me Wait. I will play the whole song. When I'm telling you, it's every bit of 6 minutes long, because it's a whole lot of moaning and groaning at the end of the song. But this song has created a lot of babies back in the day. I believe that's early to mid 70s, but one of my favorite love songs. Again, you're listening to Crown Knowledge Radio. I am Jadonna Rafia, and if you are online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Crown Knowledge Radio, you can come into our chat room, which is open right now. And as I'm speaking, it is opening right now. If you are online and you are within the sound of my voice and you want to call in and jump in on this very, very exciting show that I have coming for you. This is a reintroduction of the Crown. We're still going through Crown Knowledge housekeeping. We're still upgrading. We're still getting things amped up, renewed, elevated, And speaking of elevation, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to get into it, 515-605-9858, 515-605-9858. You guys got to join me tonight in the Crown. I have a very, very, very special guest with me tonight. We'll be introducing a number of individuals new to the Crown, just coming to the Crown, introducing topics and conversations and discussions about elevated knowledge, because that's what we're about in the Crown. Always been about that in the Crown. But the number one thing that we always said in the Crown is that it's all about love. And what way to continue on our love series this February with none other than the brother Z in the Crown with me tonight. I have, let me get it right. Is it Zuru the Don? Is this what we're doing right now? Did I get it right?
I love it.
Introducing Zuru the Don to the Crown tonight with your host, Adonna Rafia, with Love Elation. What's up, Z? Introduce yourself to the people, please.
What is going on? So, yeah. Everybody, this is Zuru the Don. You know, just originally incorporated that name, so for this particular show. But anyway, so I am, you know, a good friend of Duradonna. She is the host of the show, and she's bringing me on. I'm so excited to be on today, you know, to have an opportunity to talk about this topic that means so much to me personally in so many ways.
Awesome, awesome. I love it. And let me just, I'm just going to interject my two cents here. We all have alter egos. And I'm telling my guest host, you know, bring in your alter ego, be yourself, let yourself free, open up and everything. But you've always been Zuru the Don. You just gave it a name. That's all. it's always been there. It's always been there. And like I said, I have a couple of alter egos, and Dodonna is just one of them. But, you know, people know me. They know my name is Danielle. They know who I am. But they also know that I am Dodonna, and I get more people calling me Dodonna now than they do Danielle. It's really weird. But I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I do. And I know sometimes it's just to keep you, you know, people like to keep their private life separate. And I get it. I get that, too. But tonight, again, in the Crown, we are definitely all about love. And, you know, we don't want to be mushy-mushy and kissy-kissy and that kind of love. The love in the Crown, sometimes it challenges you to look at yourself in the mirror. We always do that. We always say, you know, rethink that person, that's that core person of who you really are. And somewhere it's always going to come back to love, whether it's a thin line, you know, between love and hate, or it's that love that just is unexplainable. And sometimes it's love on a whole new level. And the topic that Zuru the Don will be bringing you tonight in Serious Sex with the Goddess on Crown Knowledge Radio is love elation, which is love evolution, or, you know, a play on words. I think I get it, right, Z? Love evolution, and just bringing your love to a new level. I would say, is that correct?
Right.
And just kind of tell
that's
everybody,
definitely.
You know, right? Just let everybody know where we're going with that, and like give. You have some opening questions here. Let me know when you want me to jump in. But I'm going to let you go ahead and kind of let the people know what you're thinking when you're thinking of love on another level. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Love elation to me was something that came to me as I was getting more insight and more things were opening up to me about the revelation of love. Essence of what love really means. And then love elation, which is like a spinoff of the love elation, is the intersect of what love is as a solution to where we are today in life. And so that's kind of where I want to talk about. It's kind of like what love is to everybody. You know, everybody has a question, you know, what does love mean to me? What does love mean to you? That's the first question I usually try to ask people. What does love mean to you? You may not be able to answer that at the moment, and maybe it makes some time for you to think about it. You know, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But yeah, I mean, it's just a question I like to ask to open up the topic and kind of like get to have people think about that kind of intersect what love means to them personally. So what do you think, Danielle, for you, Jordana, what do you think? Does love mean anything specific to you? So like an intro to me, I always think about love as, like, love to me is God. God is love. You know, the essence of love, all encompassing. To me, I feel like everything that we need is in God, is in the love that he has for us. And I looked at the definition of love, I guess, in the Bible. It says that God is love. And it goes on to say that it does describe that love comes from God. It says, love began with God, love when he created the world, and was without him, there would be no love in the world. So to me, you know, I look at that as the beginning of where love came from. A lot of times we, you know, we have the thoughts of what love could be or what love is to us as humans or what we have been taught what love means. Just something that you could think about. You know, to me, I always have this mantra that I said, love is the key. Love is the answer. Love is the solution. Let love be your guide. You know, God is love. You know, that's something personally I think that means a lot to me. What do you know, the audience, I want to say to you guys, what does love mean to you? You know, hit us up on our Facebook page. You know, you can check us out at Crown Knowledge Radio, Facebook.com/Crown Knowledge Radio. Hit us up on their page. Let us know, what does love mean to you? You know, give us a definition of what you feel like love means to you. You know, and I looked it up. There's definitely 8 types of love according to the Greek ancient philosophy. There's eros, which is sexual passion. Philia, which is deep friendship. Ludus, which is playful love. Agape, love for everyone. Pragma, is the long-standing love. You have the love of self, which is philosophia, and then you have storage, which is family love, and mania, which is obsessive love. And I feel like that we all were created with a need for all of these types of love, but maybe in different ratio, you know, as it pertains to some, you know, some may need more of one than the other. We're all different. We're all unique. God intended us for us to be unique. If we were all the same, the world would be a very boring place. So I feel like the ratio, it pertains to each one of us differently. So you may need more of the Eros love in your life, which is a sexual passion. Nothing wrong with that. You know, some people, their love language is more of a playful love. They need more of that in their life. So everyone is different. So I feel like for you, what is specific for you may not be specific for someone else. And that's great. All that is beautiful. You know, that makes up the beauty of what love is. So if you want to chime in, what do you feel like love means to you, Jordana? If you could, you still there? So if you could use one word, what does love mean to you in one word? It's one word, one particular word. For me, it means unconditional. You know, for love, for me, it's something that's unconditional. God's love is very unconditional. It has no boundaries. It has no judgment. It has no standard. It is that he loves us beyond what we can imagine. And also, what does love look like to you? You know, when you think about love, what does it look like to you? The expression of love to you, what does that look like? Also, what does love feel like to you? The question I like to ask, how does love feel? You know, how do you feel that expression of love? What does that feel like to you? If you can explain that, Those are all great aspects of understanding what love is. So, Dodonna, what do you think for you? What does love mean to you? So if we think about it, so when it comes to love, love starts with us, individuals. A lot of times we think about people and we say, you know what does it take to have self-esteem? Well, self-esteem comes from yourself. It has to come from within you first. You can't give away something that you don't have yourself, you don't possess yourself. So love starts with you. You know, you have to learn to understand that love is something that you have to give yourself first before you can give it away to anyone else. A lot of times, you know, we see that a lot of people want someone to give them something instead of knowing that they need to possess it first and understand that it's something they can share with others. If they possess it, they can give it and share with others. So I would say that to most people. So, Dodonna, what do you think, how do you feel about when it comes to love for yourself? Do you feel like that it's important to love yourself first?
Okay. Z, can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I went off into Never Never Land for a few minutes. I am so sorry, but I could hear you, and you were doing quite well, so please continue. I know you had asked me a couple of questions. I was trying to respond. First show glitches, we get it. I had to log out and log back in. We get it. We're back in the crown. Y'all got Dodonna back on the air. You actually were doing fantastic, and I know you asked me a couple of questions, so if you want to circle back around to those questions, let's do it.
Yeah. So I think I was just kind of trying to understand, like, I was asking the audience, what does love mean to them? And I kind of asked you the same question. What did you have an idea? What do you feel like love means to you personally?
And just real quick for me, you know, love to me is like, I always, and you'll hear me say it, you know, a lot in some of the other shows that I've done, that it's like trying to define God, and that's difficult in itself at best. I don't believe that there's a one lane definition, and I love the fact that you listed all of the types of love that could be, you know, that are possible. And I was actually looking at that saying, okay, if I was really identifying or resonating with one level of love in that list, the Felicia would definitely be my lane right now. Next month it could be Eros. Next year,
yeah,
it could be storage. It could, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I put myself in that lane kind of the same way I do God. And, of course, you are affiliating love with God. And, of course, like you said, you know, they say in the Bible, God is love. And God is not always the kind of love that we think we want. My understanding, my personal experience with God is always the kind of love that you need in that moment. I'm kind of putting love in that category. So when I think of love, I don't always think of, baby, I love you because you buy me stuff and you're so kind to me and you're the father of our children and that kind of thing. Because that kind of love is flighty as well. So, yeah, I think for me, I put it in the realm of you can't put God in a box, and I don't believe you could put love in a box either. I don't know that there's a straight arrow. So I think you've given a good span of where love could fall in your life at any time, at any moment.
Right. And I like the fact that you said specifically that you can't put it in a box. You can't really put a definition to it, because I don't think there is a particular mm-hmm. definition for love when it comes to, like you said, us as individuals, we're all different. And our perspective of the Creator is different. You know, everyone has different topics or different terms that they call, you know, God or universe. You know what I mean? So everyone, even an aspect of love, it is going to be different how they feel like they receive that love from their higher source, whoever that is. I agree with you on that. And so, like you said, I feel like all encompassing, the essence of love is created that we may empower each other. You know, it's about empowerment. It's about, like I said, unconditional and, inclusive to me in terms of love. It's all about being inclusive so that everyone is involved, everyone is connected, everyone is receiving something great from it. You know what I mean? I appreciate your answer. That was good. Great, great, great answer. I think a lot of people can draw from that and feel like they can connect with that in many ways. So for me, I always say, what does love look like to you? You know, does love have a, when you see it and you say, well, this represents love to me, what does it feel like love look like to you?
For me, I think love will look, and I'm going to say this and I might have to turn around and change my mind, but love should look the same way it looks when you feel no one is looking. Does that make any sense?
That's a great answer. Yeah.
It should, and I'm rolling it over in my head because I know what I want to say, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but I think that it's free. So I think that's one of the first things that I think of when I think about love. I don't want to be out in the middle of the street with PDA every day. That I don't think that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking in terms of, even if it's with yourself, love mm-hmm. should feel free. You should feel free to love yourself. You should, it should be, I think I heard a saying one day that love is not about bondage, it's about freedom. No matter how you look at it, if you're looking at spiritual love, if you're looking at Western love, of course, Eastern love kind of moves in that direction more so than Western, you know, marriage. We're going to go to the courthouse. We're going to get a piece of paper. We're going to sign this contract and we're going to swear to love each other. I'm kind of messed up with that. I've been that way for a long time. This isn't new.
I agree.
If you've ever listened to The Crown, this is not new for Donna to say. But, yeah, I don't.
I must say, I agree with you on that. I can go with you on that. I agree. I feel like it's a piece of paper does not justify the fact. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. If you're an intelligent human being within a certain mindset and intellect and you understand what it means to hurt someone, you get it. You know, you know right from wrong. In essence, we do. And still, we're human, and we get hurt, and we hurt people. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think when it comes to love, I think there needs to be a certain elevation, mm-hmm. when it comes to quote-unquote real love. I wrote down some stuff to myself as I was looking at your notes. You got me to thinking, and I'm like, you know what? That's a very good point. But yeah, so for me, you know what it should be free. It should look freeing. You should always have some moving mechanism in your body, whether it's your heart, your gut, your brain, saying, am I loving myself properly? Am I loving this other person properly? Am I doing what I need to do to make this particular situation? Am I loving myself enough to heal from love that didn't work in the past? I mean,
that's a good thing. That's when you are loving yourself. Yeah,
that's when you're loving yourself.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I meant. When you said free, I like you said free, because unconditional to me means the same thing as free. You know, when I said that, I feel like love to me means unconditional.
That's actually one of the things that that's what I wrote down. I was like, is that a real thing? Unconditional love. Is that a real thing?
Mm-hmm. I would say it is. I would say it's like you said, being free, loving yourself and understanding that even if it's you loving yourself or you loving someone else unconditionally without judgment, without pretense, without trying to put them in a box or trying to make them fit into your box. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times we see people do that a lot. You see, they want people to fit into their box. When you don't fit into their box, they want you to fit in there. They don't love you or they don't like you.
Well, now, I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a second because I'm the host of the show and I'm known for not just because I'm the host of the show, because I've been known to be, I will go on the other side just to test myself because people.
I agree. I love it.
And I've had this question, not this particular way, but it somehow the conversation came up because we've done, you know, a lot of relationship shows and it's like, oh, I love this person unconditionally. And I asked a person, it wasn't on the air, it was just a person in general that I knew in working relationships or associations, that type of thing. Okay, so if you're man came home and said, you know what, I quit my job. Not because he's sick, not because he's ill, not because he's, you know, got some kind of impairment that he can't work. It's just, I'm tired of working. I don't want to work anymore. You're going to have to pay these bills because I don't want to work anymore. Just something that simple. I'm just thinking in simple terms. Is that okay?
Right.
Or is that just irresponsible? Or do you continue to love this person through whatever it is they're going through? Is it, or do you, or are you like, you know what, you get your act together or we're done.
That's good. I like you. I like where you're going. Hmm.
And I'm going to be truthfully. Let me tell
people,
the truth.
I can hear
it was an
brain.
Argument.
I can hear everybody.
I'm going to tell the truth. It was actually an argument with it wasn't really a coworker. It was somebody I was associated with through work in the state that I was working in at the time. And it was like, yeah, you know, she'll love me through anything. I'm like, anything? Like, if you came home today and told her, look, I don't want to work no more. You handle the bills and I'm going to stay at home. Is
that
okay?
You know, hey, listen. Love is a commitment, and do we understand what commitment is before we like when we get into love, like
that
from
part.
That point of view, like you said, in relationships, love is a commitment, and I always tell people to ask me questions about love, and I'm not even, I will say this, I don't have a relationship right now, so I don't profess to be someone who knows or to try to shape them to shape them in a relationship, but I know what it means to be in a healthy relationship. But a lot of my friends ask me advice about their relationship. They come to me. I'm a single guy. Everybody else seems to always be have a partner. I'm the one that's always single, but they always come to me with a question. Oh, my God.
That part, yeah.
But here's the thing. Anyway, I usually tell them, if you feel like if you want that person in your life, you're going to love them through whatever it is that they're going through. You know, at that moment, it may be something that you may need to help them grow through. You're part of that growth in their life. If you're connected to them and you commit to them in a relationship to love them, as the vow says, for better or for worse, or richer for poor, or, you know, sickness and health and all those things, you know, when you're saying you're committed to somebody, you're taking on all of that, all of them. And you have to know that that's what you want to do. Walk them through their process. If that means they are wanting, you know, they quit their job and they love it, and you say, well, I'm going to love you through this process of you quitting your job until, you know, I'm going to encourage you to go after your dreams or whatever it is that you're going after, or the reason why you quit your job, you know, because I don't think people just quit their job just to be lazy. Just to be lazy, you know what I'm saying?
Just to be, that's what I'm saying. Are they being irresponsible? Is this just them being lazy? If they don't have some type of debilitating issue that keeps them from working, then they just quit. Okay, so what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but
yeah,
and I do want to remind each other because that comes up a lot as vows, and I meant to do a deeper research. And as a matter of fact, I should be more responsible as the host of Serious Sex with the Goddess and find out because, of course, everybody knows the vows that you speak in a marriage, they are not in the Bible. You do know that.
True.
You knew that.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
They're not in the Bible.
That's a whole different show, but that's
a whole different show.
They're not in there.
Right.
I'm glad you
and I'm going on a whole other lane because got of course, I'm going to revisit the Ritual Relationship show, which is in my archives if no one has seen it, blogtalkradio.com/crownknowledgeradio. That's Crown with a K. Go into the archives and pull up the Ritual Relationship show. We're going to do a revisit on that show because it was like a very, it was a show that was in very high demand at that particular time when we started Crown Knowledge. But let me just say this, if for people that didn't know, because I was shocked when I found out that people actually thought, it just goes to show you that a lot of people really are not, they say they're reading the Bible, but they're not really reading it. And I'm not saying I read the whole Bible either, but I know that is not in the Bible. That those particular vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, to love,
not.
even to obey, all of that, none of that is in the Bible.
It's not in there.
But however, let me just make this real quick point. It does say in the Bible. Okay, it says in the Bible, cleave one unto another. You become the two may become one. And this is very important, ladies. Listen to me clearly. A man that findeth a wife findeth a gift, a good thing, or a treasure, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. Okay. It does not say anything about a woman finding a man.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
It says that
that's just that new, just that new, you know, that's that new era. It's just that new era. So,
the fairly New Testament.
They proposed an era.
But I'm just making that point, and you're right. That is a whole nother show because I will be doing In Serious Sex with the Goddess, this particular side of Crown Knowledge Radio about submission, that word. Yeah, the S word, ladies. And I'm going to do an entire show about same thing you're doing with love, but it's submission for the ladies, because nowhere in the Bible does it say a woman should go out and look for a man. It said that, who was it, Rachel and Naomi, I believe, but in that particular verse of the Bible, it says she laid at his feet. And she did certain things to get his attention. She could not actively seek him, but she could be in submission to him. And that's how he discovered her. In comparison to all the other concubines, I guess, in the room, he was watching her movement.
There were others. Look, there were others.
There were others. Oh, it's always another one around the corner now. Come on. You ain't the only fish in the pond. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, look, you know what? Yeah, that's a whole other show. So I will be doing that, but just to be clear about love and where love stands and is unconditional love a real thing. And even in that, they said, well, Dadonna, I'm just not going to go to some crazy dude and submit myself. No, that's not what we're saying. And that's not what the Bible says either. They use that verse that's been misused as well as tithing in the Bible, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired. Because
I do know what you mean. Yeah,
the submission has rules and regulations, and if you read chapters before and chapters after that one submission piece in the Bible, you'll see exactly what it's saying. And part of that is speak to the king and your man, and that's going to be a whole nother show as well. That's actually a real show coming up real soon with the God Rashad in the forum. But go ahead, Zuru. The Dunn.
Very strong show. That's a very strong show. I'm looking forward
to
that one. Yeah, so I mean, I love the fact, like, again, you brought to so much context when you said what love looks like to you. Freedom, free. Acceptance, you know, non-judgmental. I love that. I wanted to also present the fact to our audience, to you as well, if you would like to jump in on this topic. What does love feel like to you? You know, a lot of times we operate on that. That's one of our emotions as well, how things feel to us, you know, one of our senses that is very important now. So what does love feel like to you? You feel this, then you feel loved, or you
I love this because you are so on point with Serious Sex for the Goddess, because Serious Sex with the Goddess is based on all five senses, and the sixth sense for me that I also use for explaining love and sex and sensuality on a whole nother level is breath and breathing.
Okay.
And
okay.
What unconditional love and loving me wholly for who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give the illusion that it's easy, because I'm not going to do that. But your feeling with yourself, is there's a comfort level. And even with other people, your gut, I usually go with my gut, and I know that's not telling the audience a whole lot, because it's like, okay, well, I could do that when I'm betting at the casino. Like, that don't even make no sense. But if I could explain my gut I have that thing. So do you have to think about it? Yeah. Do you have to meditate on it? Yeah. I think it should be harder to get into committed relationships than it is to get out of them. We would cure a lot of divorce issues on the back end, I think. This is just my thinking. This is nobody else in the crown but Dodonna. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think that if we stop for a minute and breathe, you know, what does love feel like? You should feel like somebody took the time to significantly go out of their way to know you, not to buy mm-hmm. you a gift, not to put you in a house or a car, not to set you up in your own business, but have you really taken the time to get to know me? Because if you haven't, all that other stuff that I mentioned, it's not going to mean shit. Really, in the end,
byproduct.
It's not going to mean
all
anything.
The other stuff is byproduct.
Yeah, all of that
byproduct.
Is exactly. I use the analogy, and I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but if you listen to a few of my shows, you'll hear me say it. It's like a cake. We're not even talking about the icing. We're talking about the cake, because if you don't, and we're talking about grandmama's cake. Let's just even say great grandmama. My grandmama used to make a cake that when she take it out the oven, just the smell alone would make your mouth water.
That's just saying, right?
And you want a piece before she even put the icing on it. Like, I don't even want to wait for the icing, Grandma. Can I have a piece right now?
Actually,
like,
to be honest, I was the one that wanted to lick the bowl.
That part, too. You could lick the bowl and tell the cake was going to be good. I'm out. You can lick the bowl and tell the cake was going to be good, okay?
Right.
So the ingredients that you put into that cake is akin to, and I always use that analogy because it's so perfect. If your cake, and here I go in the forum, this is a part of who I am in the forum, Zoo. If your cake is fucked up to begin with, it doesn't matter how much icing you put on it.
That part, it's still going to be a nasty ass cake.
It's just going to be a nasty cake with icing on it. It's really just going to be that.
Yeah,
that and it, you can't get no plainer than that. If it's nasty out the oven, it's going to be nasty when it cool off and you put the icing on it. It's just going to be it's going to be a nasty cake that's kind of sort of sweet every now and then.
Right, and dry.
And dry. Like, it's just, But I use that analogy because have you taken the time to get to know me? Have you really, you know, what does she like to eat? What's her habits? You know, was she doing this? Was he doing this when I met him? You know, was she this way? You know, what kind of conversation do you have with this person? And again, this was a movie. This is not Dodonna. In the movie with Halle Berry, and I think it's Bruce Willis, they play in this movie called, oh my goodness, I just lost the name of it, but in the
Halle
movie, if you Google Halle Berry and Bruce Willis, and it's a movie about online flirting. They're in a chat room where you can flirt, but Bruce Willis is married to a model type person, and Halle Berry is a single temp. She's a temp. She came to his corporation through a temp agency. But anyway,
was it called Perfect Stranger?
Perfect Stranger. There you go. That is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So Perfect Stranger. And there's a line in that movie when Halle Berry's trying to figure out the relationship between Bruce Willis and this model wife of his trophy wife, basically. Mm-hmm. And right. she couldn't figure it out because he was like a hound dog or whatever. And the line was, you show me a beautiful woman and I'll show you a man who's tired of effing her.
Oh, okay.
Now that is because they felt she had no voice. She had no, and this is like Bruce Willis's explanation to Halle Berry in the movie. She doesn't have an opinion on anything. My opinion is her opinion.
Right.
She doesn't have any conversation. Well, what does she contribute to the relationship? Well, she contributes a look at her. It's basically what he said. Look at her. That's her contribution to it. And it was so sad. And I didn't get it until I watched the movie the second time. A second time around, I got a chance to watch it. And I was like, okay. So, and my, a friend of mine, well, actually a family member, I'm sorry, a family member, drop dead gorgeous. She's a young family member. And she brought up that topic not too long ago, and I was damn near in tears because I've always felt that way but could never articulate it until now. And I said, you know what, demand that a person of the opposite sex or a person that you want to be in a committed relationship, demand that understanding, demand that they know you, take that time, you know. And it just so happens she's still a virgin. She's of age and she's still a virgin. And she's like, I refuse to just throw myself away to someone who has no interest in me as a, number one, a human being, and as a person and as a woman. And I get it. And I mean, this particular family, she had me in tears because I felt that way and I was never able to articulate it. And I'm like, okay, this person's not even, he ain't even listening to me. Okay, I told him I didn't like, and he bought this anyway. Like, I've told you like 100 times, you know, that kind of conversation that you have. And you may not have it out loud, but you have it with yourself. And like, you know what, he keeps doing this over and over again. And he know, I do this when I do that. And I know, if I know that he needs this, if I know that the clean socks need to be there, if I know that I have to pick the shirts up from the dry clean, if I know that his favorite meal is this, if I know that his mom likes this, and if I can understand where he's coming from when he's frustrated at work, if I know when he walks through the door, something's right or something's wrong, when I can get okay, well, but that's much being in tune. But is it though?
Is it really?
How bad do you want to feel? How bad do you want to be, quote unquote, in love or be loved? How serious is it for you? Okay, I digress. I'll turn it back over to Zuman the Don.
Oh, you don't have to digress.
No, I'm just saying, you know, go ahead.
No, that point of view you brought up was very, very important. A great example, too, from that movie, The Stranger, Perfect Strangers. I actually haven't watched that movie through the entirety of that.
Yeah, it's got a real weird twist at the end, too. I've been like, okay, is that what this movie was about? But I mean, I love the analogies all the way through the movie, but when it got to the end, it was weird. It was a cover up and all types of shit. And I was like, I did not get that all through the movie. It was weird. It was very weird. But the plot twist at the end, watch it if you haven't watched it. But yeah, they had a lot of good, you know, it was about, like I said, it was about online chat room flirting gone completely wrong.
Wow. That's
online
crazy.
Flirting gone wrong.
You know
Hey, anybody want to check it out?
Every day. This is happening every day nowadays.
Absolutely.
The world we live in now. Listen, that's where we live in.
Hey,
online dating.
It happens.
Everybody's
it happens
doing
more
it.
Than we
you
think.
Have so many ways of being people, like on so many apps. Like, that's the way of the world, right?
That part,
yeah.
It really does. But, yeah, that's kind of what love to me. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I think you're right. Love, you telling me love to you, how that makes you feel, and you know, I appreciate your answer. I think everybody has, like you say again, they have their own way of how they may interpret it feeling to them. But as long as it feels the way that you, it feels right to you. You know what I mean? Like, accept that it's okay for you to have your own definition of what love should feel like to you. I feel like so many people want to just make. They always want to have an answer to. a question that they have in their mind from someone else when they should have the freedom of understanding they can have their own definition of what it means to them. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah. We should all be open to that. So, yeah, so here's the thing. There are some important things that we need to understand, I think, about love. First of all, I did mention that love starts with the individual. It starts with us personally. I think it's something that we inhabit within ourselves before we can give it to other people. A lot of times we try to fall in love or make a relationship with someone else to take up the space of the love that we don't have within ourselves for ourselves.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
And we try to find it outside of ourselves, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
in someone else, you know what I mean, before we try to learn what it is to love ourselves personally. And that's the song, you know, that song Whitney Houston sang, that line in that song always meant a lot to me. It says, the greatest love of all is the love you have for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So the song that she sang was the greatest love of all, it was talking about, that's what the song was representing. That's the greatest love you can have is for yourself, you know what I mean, personally with yourself. But no, so what do you feel when it comes to love, how do you, and I want to ask this question to the audience. I know we're not on here. We're on here for an hour, right? We have an hour on the show.
We got about 45 minutes left in the show. We actually had an hour and a half.
Okay.
Didn't feel like it, did it?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't want to go over time. But
Nope. We still have 45 free minutes in the show. Yep.
Okay. So I have some quotes. Some quotes that I used to quote. Now, this is something that I wrote myself personally. When I thought about love, for me personally, I thought it was something that I would relate to grace. And when I say grace, that means, like I said, you're giving people, again, something that is above what you can it's more, it's going beyond just being loving from a human perspective. So I said, practice love with grace. You will get back what you give out. Try it and reap the benefits. That's a quotation that I wrote. And when you think of that, I think that most people should understand, like, when you're loving someone, the boundaries you put on it, just realize that whatever you're giving out, you're going to receive back. It's almost like it's a law in the earth. You see what I'm saying? I kind of feel like that's why, from the perspective of what Jesus said, he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, you can only love somebody to the degree that you love yourself, but that's the commandment that he gave. Because when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to put, you know, and you're going to put them in your shoes as if they're you. So from that perspective, what do you think? When you say, when I say that, like, you're practicing love with other people, you get back what you give out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
From that perspective, do you see that as something that is true? That is, have you seen that in your life particularly, or?
Actually, when I looked at your notes here and I was going through them, I highlighted, that's the only thing that's highlighted on my page. You will get back what you give out.
The
reason why I'm just sitting here, I was trying to keep from laughing because I'm like, that is the only thing I highlighted on this whole page. Not that all the rest of it was absolutely wonderful, but that part just stuck out. Number one, that is a universal law, whether people want to believe it or not. Look it up. It's true. When you've heard the saying, as above, so below.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have.
You've heard, there's also as within, so without. As without, so within. You've heard duality. You've heard that name. So this isn't a brand. I mean, the way that you said it is beautiful, but I can't make this up. You can Google it. It is a universal law that what you put out comes back to you. Because we're talking energy here. Regardless of whether we're talking love, especially when we're talking love and God. We're talking energy. So everything is a vibration. So there's a high vibe and a low vibe to everything. Okay. There's an in and an out to everything. That's why there's an up and a down. That's where there's an in and an out. That's why there's a dark and a light. That's why there's a good and a bad. I mean, it's everything has a polar opposite. Everything has a duality. That is a universal law. Now, I didn't make this up, and Juan the Don didn't make this up. This is a universal law. I try my best to live by that law, among many others, because there are other laws. There's the law of attraction, which is kind of the same thing. There's a law of vibration. There's the law of opposites, which is sort of kind of still the same thing in the same realm. There are at least seven that I know of, and if you ask the God Rashad, there's like way, way more than that. And everybody always hangs their hat on the law of attraction because you hear that all
true,
the time. And that is a universal law. There is a whole book written on this. I can't make this up. This is not
Dardana.
There is a whole book about universal law. So you will get back what you give out. That is absolutely true. And that's why I highlight, I'm like, that is the God. That is the God honest. You've heard of Salvagian, so I think it's Salvagio vibrations, and there's the, I'm probably butchering both of these names, but there's the oh my goodness, I was just getting ready to say it. But anyway, the spirals and circles and mathematics and numbers and everything that goes into life and creation. And I'll come up with the name later, but there is a name for it. And then the sound, if you put a glass of water on your speaker or whatever at home, so I'd probably just date myself, but or even if you put your cell phone you have a very nice iPhone and it's got a nice boom, an 808 to it, and you sit a glass of water on top of it, you're going to see the ripples move, right? What I'm trying to explain metaphysically is that what we're talking about is a vibration. If you're high vibing on this so when you feel a certain vibe from someone, listen to it. If you walk
very
into
good.
The room,
very good. I'm glad you said that.
And if you walk into the room, you get a certain, you ever walk into the room and you be like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or you walk in the room and you be like, wow, what y'all doing? Okay, it's a party going on in here. You know, it's either one end or the other. Like you walk into the room and you be like, I'm not going to be here very long. You walk into the room and you, the energy, you can feel it. I promise you. If you vibe high and you stay centered and you stay true to the core of who you are, everybody can do this. I'm not making this up. I know when I'm speaking to somebody, you know when somebody's lying to you. You may let them tell the lie because you don't have time, or you say, okay, stop. So you mean to tell me, right? You know what I'm saying? You either turn a blind eye and be like, and even in relationships, they say women, 95% of being in a relationship with a man you can't trust is turning a blind eye.
Okay.
That's how you stay together, yeah. Because if I called you on all your bullshit, we'd have broke up 10 minutes. 10 minutes after we met, we would have broke up.
We broke up, right.
You understand what I'm saying? So this, that, when you put that on the paper, and I highlight it, I'm like, that's a whole show, dude.
That's probably the reason why I'm single right now.
I'm going to tell you that is why the reason I am single 100%. And you'd be like, no, Dardana, come on now, not 100%.
I'm going to call you on it from day one. I'm calling you on it from the moment.
I'm
going to
call you
on
it. I cannot let
it
go.
Like, I said this year for me, I'm like, what's her name? Maya Angelou. Believe me the first time. They show you the first time. Believe them. When they show you what they show them the first time, who they are the first time, believe them. And when
them.
I tell you, that's how I've been operating since 2024.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. I just met someone not too long ago, and this has been a long time, because I tend to stay out of relationships more so than I stay in them. And that was my way of purging myself mm-hmm. from marriage. And we're still talking about love evolution, y'all. Don't back out on us yet. We're still in the crown. I'm in the crown with Zuan the Don, and this is your Donna, and we're still talking about love relation, love evolution, love on another level, love under new management, whatever you want to call it. We're still talking about that in the crown. 515-605-9858. Let me tell you this, Z. I met somebody. It was, you know, I was going through a whole death in the family, da, 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 and I'm, you know, it was people in and out. And okay, so I met this person that was kind of like, you're beautiful, you know, I remember you, da, da, da. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, so we kind of reminisced, and I had to go back down memory lane mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, well, here's my number. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear from the person. It was kind of like, okay, well, I know I'm busy, and, you know, he's giving me my space. When I did hear from the person, it was by text. So I'm already like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I let that go, and I text him back, hi, you know, da, 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 you know, and I'm just kind of moving through this here and there and paraphrasing, because the point of the matter was, when, you know, I got the text, you know, can you talk? Yeah, I got the text. Can you talk? Yeah, I can talk. And I got like a 40-line text message. And so it's kind of late, late in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere like that. And I roll over and I look at my phone, and I didn't even read it. It looked like a grocery list. Like, now, I know I'm of a certain age. I get it. Text is what it is. People have conversations, da-da-da-da. Usually you're texting maybe because you're around people that you don't want them to hear your conversation, but you want to tell somebody, hey, when I get a free moment, I'll call you. That kind of thing. Or, hey, I'm at my boy's house right now, but as soon as I leave here, can I hit you? It's going to be about so-and-so. Are you going to be up? Or, you know, something quick, 5 words, 10 words. That's what I use text for. If I feel like I'm going past 3 or 4 lines, I'm going to call you. I've done that to you. If I think I'm gonna go 3 or 4 lines past what I need to say, this is a conversation. Mm-hmm. This is no longer a note. This is and that's what I think text messages are, a quick note. I'll be here at 12 o'clock, meet me here.
People don't treat them like that, though, but I'm with you.
No, they do not. They treat text like a telephone, and I'm like, no.
They be writing a whole journal.
Text is
like,
a sticky note to me. I could be of a certain age. I get it. Don't y'all millennials come for me, because I'm going to tell you right now. I'm a vet,
I'm
sorry, and I'm homeschooled.
I don't care what age you are. I don't think it's unreasonable to understand that if you start sending more than one paragraph, you're actually starting to write a novel. My God, so you can call me.
Right. I'm not even mad at y'all's emojis. You want to do lunch? I'll be here. What about 7? If 7 doesn't work, give me a call. Emoji, whatever emoji you want to do. A eating emoji or rubbing your stomach emoji. I really don't care.
When it comes to text, I'm almost of this principle. When it comes to text messages, let's keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss.
Right.
Look.
Because
keep it very simple.
I'm going to say, if I want to have a let me call right quick, or I'll hit you and say, hey, when you got a minute, give me a call. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When you got a minute, give me a call. So, okay, it's fine. I get it. And I'm like, okay, me and this person just reconnected, blah, blah, blah. And so I hit him back, and I'm like, I'm assuming you're at work. No, I got a little bit of time. What's up? And I'm like, you're not at work? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing you need, well, and then I was like, can you call me? Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you're not, because I mean, you know, people got jobs overnight, they work, gender, whatever, 2 o'clock in the morning.
All the time.
But, you know, so I'm assuming, hey, you could be a care person, you know, they work overnight, you could be a janitor, you could be a parking lot attendant. I don't care. You know, people have jobs that you work on, because you just say, okay, well, hit me when you get off work, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So now, if you, I'm assuming you're somewhere that you then I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm trying to make a point. If you are somewhere where you have time to do a 40-line text message, and yes, I took the time to count, I'm Petty Betty that way. So,
oh my God!
And I'm like,
I didn't think you would actually say. I didn't think you would actually give me the whole number, like the actual number of how many lines.
If you have, imagine a 40-line. That is a 2-minute, 3-minute conversation at least.
It is.
And I'm like, you know, and so I text him back. I said, one thing that I need to tell you about me, I do not have long conversations by text. And I sent that one off, and I sent another text behind that. It says, both my ears work perfectly.
Okay.
And I sent that text back. And I didn't hear anything else. And the next day when I got up, this guy's like, I see you're a difficult woman. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So that was, I mean, and that's just an out. I get it. I know an out when I see one because my ex-husband used to do that. He would start a fight just to leave the house. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And we had nothing to argue about, nothing at all. Like there was no money problems, no house problems, no home problems, no, you know what I'm saying? We had nothing. And so he would pick fights about little stuff. And I get it. People, come on. This is the day and the age that we're living in. And I understand it. But, you know, so, and I let him know, I said, I always assume that you are not available until you tell me otherwise. I always make that assumption. Please know that.
Good.
I always make that assumption. You are not available until you tell me otherwise. And he never did. Mm-hmm. And so that was the whole, and that was like that was our face-to-face conversation. I'm like, okay, until you tell me. And I knew right away, because that was a trick question, dude.
Right.
That was really a trick question.
He had ulterior motives. But, you know, we didn't have this term back then. What most people do, like what you're saying, they're gaslighting you. See, the terminology now, you know what I'm saying, you have a terminology for it now. Back then, you didn't have a terminology for it.
You didn't have it, right. And I didn't have a terminology, but, I called it pissing on my head and calling it rain. That's what I called it. Back in the day, I'm like, okay, so you just going to piss on my head and say, do you feel that rain? No, dude, I smell this shit.
Exactly.
He was being very kind, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So, but, and then you wonder why people do. And I'm like, I'm not. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, first of all, and I just happen to be up because I sleep that way. And I was perfectly – I'm grown. I am far beyond grown. And I could pick up my phone and talk to anybody I want to whenever I feel like it. Clearly, you cannot.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the afternoon. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up my phone whenever I feel like it. Right. Absolutely. Unless I hit you back and say, "Hey, I'm driving," because I don't like to drive and talk on the phone at all, unless it's an emergency. I don't really do anything with my phone when I'm in the car. And if I'm in the store, I do not talk on my phone when I'm in the store. Or any kind of establishment. I won't do it. I think it's rude and I think it's ghetto. Unless somebody in your family is dying, I don't think you need to be talking on the phone while you're standing in front of other people. I just don't. That's just me. That's my lane.
Yeah.
It ain't nobody else's lane. Unless you know how to really whisper and, you know, you don't mind having conversation around people, okay, I get it. You know, I got to talk to my kids.
Or just say, you know what
I'm
saying, just say, pardon me, excuse me for a minute, I'm in the store, give me a minute.
I always do. Yeah, I can't talk right now. I'm in the store. I'll call you as soon as I get back. But that part of it. So, and I'm telling the truth. That is a true story. I am not making I wouldn't lie on this. He's a very nice person. He seems to be. But, you know, when you got bologna on your plate and you're trying to put a thick porterhouse steak, you're trying to put a nutritious porterhouse steak on top of a bologna sandwich and some potato chips, you're crazy.
The parable, the difference.
Have you ever tried to put a thick, juicy porterhouse steak on top of a bologna sandwich and eat it? Really? Okay. So anyway, but that part of the game. So, I mean, but love to me is a gut thing. And like you said, if somebody shows you who they are the first time, believe them.
Yeah, for real. We have to start realizing that we have to take our red flags and checks into consideration. A lot of people end up in relationships later on and they figure out, like, dang, I saw that at the beginning, but I kind of, like, gave it a pass because I was like, well, maybe this person, you know, maybe I can help them change or maybe they will change or whatever.
I'm here to say,
when certain people get to a certain age, I'm so sorry. I'm not just saying, but there is no changing for some people when you get to a certain age.
That's true.
Granted, all have the capacity to change if we want to. But you have to realize there are certain factors that you realize when a person does not want to change. And when you see that, that's your moment to take it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey,
I agree with you. I do. And I heard something a long time ago when I was, you know, everybody knows Dordana in the forum, and I was in the church, deeply in the church. I've been baptized. I've been in ministry. I've created ministries. I was really, really, really in the church. As a matter of fact, I met my first husband. He was studying to be a minister at the time, and I was doing a literacy program and writing resumes or something. And it's sort of kind of how we met. We kind of bonded over a mentoring program, and I was much older than he was, but you know, that's how we met. And we were attending this church, and this was after we had kind of split and broke up. But the pastor at the time was the same age I was. As a matter of fact, we were the same age, but he was, and he was married to a much older woman. He made a statement, and I believe it was on Valentine's Day. I think it was either before or after or the day, and they were doing something pertaining to the heart in the church. That's all I remember, but I remember it was Valentine's Day because he made a statement about his wife. And real quick, this is what he said. He said, "My wife, the woman that I married, is the only woman that deserves to benefit from the man I have become."
I'm looking around
the church like, did anybody just hear?
That's heavy.
That speaks volumes about him, but that speaks so much volumes about her.
Seriously.
And he said that was everything. And I'm looking around the church and people like, it's benediction. And if y'all know anything about the church, when I was into the church, and yes, y'all know I'm not on that side of the game now, but I do believe in God and there's only one God. But my thing at that particular time, I'm like, y'all missed the whole point of us being here. Like, And I think maybe me and one other person. And I told him when I went into counseling with my ex-husband, we counseled under him. And I told him, I said, "Do you remember that day?" And he said, I think so, but he didn't even remember.
He didn't remember. Oh, okay.
That was crazy. And I'm like, I said, "You don't remember that day in Valentine's Day?" He said, "I remember I gave my wife a compliment." He said, "You remember?" I said, "I remember every word you said verbatim." He said, my wife is the only woman in my life that deserves to benefit from the man that God has made me, that has turned me into be. Like, you know, I know what I was in the past. I might not been that dude at the time, or I knew what I was growing into, and I might not have always got it right, but God is transforming me into this king. So what queen deserves to benefit? So when you're a king, you're going to give your everything to the right queen. Not just anybody. You ain't going to give that to just anybody.
No, you're not. You're not going to give that.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I just thought it was so profound. But, yeah, that part of, so what does love look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like?
It's
and that's
complicated.
Whole,
love can be, I'm going to be honest, love is very,
what is your,
here's the thing.
What is your love language? Like,
yeah, so that's good. Like, I was going to piggyback off of what you just said recently about him saying his wife is the only one that can benefit. That word benefit is something to be said that. Because, you know, benefits can, that means that you are obtaining something from somebody that is of value to them.
Absolutely.
And, you
and
know,
it's
I was
not necessarily
back
money.
Back of that, that, not, oh, that's what I'm about to say. Because one of the points I had on here to talk about tonight is that love is a commodity. Love is considered a commodity and a currency in itself. And it can be considered to be a wealth, you know what I mean? And what you were saying about him benefiting, his wife benefiting from that, she's going to benefit from the wealth of what she built into him. Like you said, for him to be the husband, he can be to her, but she, it took
there
her.
There is
to,
an investment there. Something. That is true.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
See what I'm, you see what I'm going?
Yeah,
I'm going. Right.
Yep.
So in love, there is that investment that you put into a relationship. But it goes back to what we were saying earlier about you saying when you first get into a relationship, is this something I want to put myself into that I want to invest into this relationship with this person, with this situation, with these this baggage or whatever they're bringing to the relationship, you know, to help them grow and to become a better person. You know, you have to evaluate all that going into that relationship at the beginning.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be that stable person that's going to have that love to not let that relationship fold or bend or break up or whatever. Yeah. So
I agree. I do look at, and I think I heard this on a podcast, but I definitely agree with it. And I might have heard it prior to this before, but I think it's Hardly Initiated. Shout out to Hardly Initiated. That's one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. If you haven't listened to them, these brothers, they bring on men and women that talk about real issues. And I mean, they get down with it. Without being too overly on one side or the other, and I like it. And it's two gentlemen, and they brought up a point with a guest of theirs that said that, you know, 90% of the breakup is the heartache over the investment.
Okay.
90% of the breakup, of course, it's going to be love lost. We can also talk about the love lost, but you know, when you, like you said, if a man takes out his wallet, because I'm going to tell you how my mama said that, you know, her brother and daddy and them saying a man's got his word, his dick, and his wallet.
All of those.
And if he's giving at least them three to you, you in the game, girl. You winning. If he give you his word, give you all three of them, you winning, girl. You better quit. You better shut up while you're ahead. You better shut up while you winning, girl. But here's the one thing that I think is the most valuable commodity a man has, and if he adds that to the fire, then that, you know, to most women that's looking for the R-I-N-G, if that's what you're looking for, if a man is giving you his time and attention, hey girl, you cute, you got a fat
booty.
If a man is giving you his time, that is his most valuable commodity. Because when I tell you they are outnumbered, in Nashville, y'all outnumbered 35-1. That's just in Nashville. In on the planet alone, and how do I know that? Because when I was doing Crown Knowledge, when I was there, I have that in the show where I actually looked up the statistic. The ratio of men to women on the planet, period, is 15-1. There are 15 women for every one man. There are more women on the planet. So each man at least has 15 to 20 choices before he gets to you, potentially. Uh-huh. Let's just say potentially.
Right.
You know, I wish I had an allegedly button. I would press it, but I don't. But let's just say, but realistically, on the planet, men are outnumbered by women 15-1. So there are 15 other women standing behind you, boo.
Listen.
So now, how much time does this man have?
The world is becoming more feminine every day.
Yeah. And my thing, you know, we got a lot of stuff to, you know, there's a lot of balls to throw up in the air. There's LGBTQ, there's, you know, preference, there's bi, there's tri, there's, you know, so many variations. So I tend to try to leave that in its place. And when I'm talking about relationships in the Crown, we're primarily, and, you know, no disrespect to any genre. We get it. We understand. But a heterosexual man, a heterosexual woman, men are outnumbered 15-1. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's probably an old number. Because I did that, 2013, 2014, somewhere around there. So that's an old number.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, so what do we say? God, are you doing this? And this is a whole nother show I'm drifting into. God, is this on purpose?
I could
is this on purpose?
That, but I'm gonna let you...
Is this...
Yeah,
are you telling us something? Right. Are we going back to our ancient ancestors where 2-3-4 wives was the norm? Is it natural? Is it natural for a man to be with just one woman? I'm just asking the question. Don't y'all come for me. I'm telling y'all right.
They're not gonna come for
me.
They can't come for you.
Don't y'all come for me.
They don't have the answer either. Nobody
can tell you something
unless they have the answer. If they don't have the answer,
we talked about polygamy.
There is no answer, to be honest, there is no answer. They can't come for you.
Yeah, right. Because they're polygamy, polyandry, and polygyny. Monogamy, polygyny, and polyandry is the name of the ritual.
And the same people that we celebrate in the Bible, David, Solomon, all these people that we are heroes. They all participated in, because that was the norm. That was their lifestyle.
That was the norm. That was their lifestyle. Right. Our
yes.
ancient African
That's why
ancestors.
I say Nick Cannon is actually fulfilling his ancestors' lifestyle.
If you really want to look at it in an ancient spiritual, and you're laughing, but I'm serious, and a lot of people, but I did have some people back then come for me like, oh, well, you're just giving them an excuse to have more sex. Guess what, darling?
Maybe.
They're doing it anyway.
The Bible did say be fruitful and multiply.
They don't need an excuse to have more sex. They're having it.
Y'all gonna be coming for me now, Lord Jesus.
Right.
Y'all gonna be coming for me now, Lord Jesus.
No.
But I'm just saying, it did say be fruitful and multiply. It didn't say within the marriage either. But, you know.
And it did not. And the thing of it is, like I said, when... even when, let's just say, I don't pretend to know the Muslim faith. I got a lot of friends in the Muslim community because they like my train of thought. I actually don't subscribe to any religion at all. I'm a spiritual person, so I'm kind of grounded in my central understanding of God and my personal relationship.
Right.
That's where I am.
I think a lot of us that came through religious, you know, church backgrounds growing up have evolved into whatever
Correct.
We feel is centered, you know, we're still centered in whatever way with that relationship.
And all I told my Muslim friend, quote unquote, was that, you know, you have to understand when, you know, he said, well, I mean, he and I were looking at, we looked at the Quran, we look at the Torah, and I've also, you know, there's still things that I read in the Bible. I read all of it. I read some Bhagavad Gita, that's Indian and Eastern philosophy. I've kind of dabbled in a little bit of all of it because I want to know. That's how curious I am. So when we were talking about this whole multifaceted, you know, multiple wives and that kind of thing, he said, well, Dardana, what they don't do is they don't read the whole scripture. People that don't understand the faith, they don't read it all. When it says you can have more than wife, up to one, two, I think they give a number like four, and if you can afford. And they need to, I said, can they put that word in bold and kind of highlight it in the book? Because nobody's saying that. If you, however many wives you can afford.
Isn't that funny? That's funny, yeah.
So, and it still stands the same. In ancient African culture, you could not just get a woman. Now, I'm talking about a certain dynasty, a certain era. In ancient African culture, you had to come to the house with cows, gold, wheat,
Hello.
Calves,
Hello.
Goats,
Hello.
Ivory.
Hello.
You couldn't just walk
Provision
up and be like,
listen.
Is Kenesha home? Can she come out?
No.
Mm-mm.
Kenesha who?
I got Umbubu knocked up, and we got
to
go. You know, I told her it wasn't mine, and they didn't have it. Yeah, African Kings was not. They wasn't having that. When you come to the house, you had
right.
to. And ladies, to be fair to the men, Daddy needed to have some kind of dowry for you.
That's good.
So it could be equal cows. It could be your silks. Your pearls.
Good.
It could be ivory. It could be gold or whatever. But there needed to be a dowry for when your daughter
had to be.
Was of age.
Yeah.
And this person, this man or whoever felt like he could. So when the vows say, "Do you take?" Who gives this woman to be this man's
yeah.
husband? And a father has to
right.
stand there and say, "Okay, I took care of her, but now when mm-hmm. you take her." When you take her,
mm-hmm.
you better be able to take care of her. If not,
right.
you can leave her right where she is.
Okay. Leave her right there.
So I'm just telling y'all, don't come for me, y'all. I'm telling y'all the ancient African culture. I know there are other African cultures that do things differently. I get it. But I'm talking about ancient African culture. They had ritual. They had process. They had procedure. What am I talking about? They have rites of passage. They have
yeah.
they had ritual in their relationships. Marriage
mm-hmm.
to them was a spiritual thing. They didn't have a courthouse.
It was a very
right.
sacred thing.
Exactly.
Sacred.
And I'm going to tell y'all this too. And again,
and
y'all religious, don't come for me. They didn't have a marriage contract in the Bible. They didn't have to go
didn't
to, as a matter
it.
Of fact, the people that were reading stuff in the Bible, guess what? They didn't mm-hmm. even have a Bible.
They did not. Come on now.
Come on now.
See, now you want to hold another show. We're going to have to do this.
Okay. But we're still talking about love.
I can jump on that show, too. I can jump on
that
show. That
right there. Oh, you know what? Write it down. Make a note. We're going to stick a pin in it. This is the crown. Do not get it twisted. We are coming with more. I am so excited to have
But here's Rhonda the thing.
Don
when you talk about
the
show, love, when you talk about love, yeah. because love is so, like
yes.
I said, again, all-inclusive.
Yes.
And unconditional goes back to what
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes.
It's very complex. So you
Absolutely.
Get into all these other different topics that kind of bleed
yeah.
into it because love is all of these things. Like it incorporates everything. Like love is
it
the
does.
Foundation. To me, personally, when you say God is love, because I feel like God is the foundation of creation, mm-hmm. love is the foundation. Everywhere in the Bible it mentions God. Interpret that love is there. Just try that.
Right.
Next time you read
right.
the Bible and it says God, put love in that same sentence
right.
instead of God. And look at it from that perspective. I guarantee you get a whole new, from a whole different perspective or horizon of what the Bible is trying to interpret to us in many ways.
I agree.
Yeah, I think, I do want to say one thing. I know we're about to get out really soon. I do want to go over one more topic.
No, go ahead. You got several minutes.
And just
left.
Kind of
yep.
hear what your point of view is on this, because I know this is really what we were talking about. You know, this is a song. The topic is Love Evolution. We also want to talk about sex because this is serious sex with the goddess. So in
Absolutely.
Love, you know, there's love. And when you think about love, okay, so we know that sex, again, we talk about one of the topics of one of the types of love is eros, which is sexual passion. So when you think of love, how do you feel about love? And I'm going to say it in two different ways, love in sex. Versus love in, like the letter N
mm-hmm.
sex. So some people.
I love that too.
Some
I started
love
to highlight
sex. So
that
they,
as
they,
well.
Some people
yeah.
love sex. You know what I'm saying? They're like, you know, you have people that just love sex. So they're loving sex rather than
mm-hmm.
loving
mm-hmm.
the person in the sex. They're in the sex sexual act with. So there's
Correct.
A difference between the two. So when you say love in sex, what do you say? What do you think?
It is absolutely a difference with love in sex and loving sex. So, I get
yeah.
it. I look at sex the same way. If you said you listened to my Kiss show, and I look at sex the same way I look at a kiss, because to me a kiss is just as sexual. To me, this is Jordana, and I'm like, yeah, well, a kiss is a kiss. No, I look at them as a form of communication, both of them. I look at a kiss as a form of communication. I take it very seriously. I take sex very seriously because you're communicating something, whether you're doing it out of love, whether you're doing it out of lust, whether it's a drunken one-night stand, whether it's a jump-off, whether it's a hookup.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care what it
is.
You're communicating something.
You really are.
At the time that you do that. And what you want to communicate to the person that you're stripping bare naked to your human skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you are communicating, and you're communicating in several ways. You are communicating when you touch someone, the way you touch them, you're communicating to them. The way you look at someone, when you are fully disclosed to someone in a room, it's just you and that person, you are communicating something. You're telling this person something.
Oh, it's cool.
All of your senses kick in. And if you have been following Serious Sex with the Goddess, I will tell you all of those senses, including smell. I'm just going to stop right here with a period. Let's
move
on.
You can stop right there.
So, I'm going to stop right there. But let me just say this. You're communicating with, as far as smell, I'm going to stop right there. That just speaks for itself. But your sense of taste, your sense of touch, your sense of hearing, what do you hear? Like you said, what does it sound like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And all of that goes into play with sex for me. The biggest part for me is the chemical exchange, because
the vulnerability of this whole conversation when it comes to love. Sex
absolutely
is a whole nother thing. And like you said,
then,
all of those senses come into play. Your senses again,
this is very, very important though, because I need you to hear this. The chemical exchange of information. So what do you mean the chemical exchange? Your body fluids, your sweat, the semen, the juices, the DNA.
Yeah.
All of that. When you exchange those bodily fuels, women, I need women to really hear this, because the women that have followed the crown in the past, they've heard me say this before. They can get up and wipe us off. We cannot.
So we
need to be, and when I just made that statement earlier that I tend to stay out of, especially physical relationships, more so than I do in them, because it took me a while to get over
my ex.
You know what? And most women, it takes them a while. They carry that old chemical exchange into their new relationship. And what do you get?
That's
a switchboard.
That's true. You do.
So you're trying to plug into different outlets on a new person, and you still got old outlets plugged in. And you're still trying to, well, he didn't touch me that way. I didn't feel that way when he did that. We may not be voicing it outwardly, in our voice, but in your mind and in your heart and in your gut, when this person gets up and walks away from you,
you get that
empty feeling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of my first shows of Serious Sex with the Goddess. Absolutely. That chemical exchange is a monster. And a lot of women deal with it, and you can see it. It comes out in different ways. I'm gonna get out here and twerk and show my butt, and I'm gonna swing on a pole.
It comes out in very toxic ways too. Stalking.
Or I'm gonna be bitter, and I'm gonna be angry. I'm gonna be toxic.
I'm gonna stalk him.
Or I'm gonna do something. Right. I'm gonna do something to really, I gotta get my revenge. Got to get back. Oh, you just gonna do this, and then you're not gonna call me, and or you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and pull up on his friend. I'm gonna see how that look. Men can be the same way, because we're using our entire We have about 90 seconds left in the show, but I'm telling y'all that chemical exchange, it can leave you feeling devastated in ways, and we cover it up. We cover it up in so many ways. We cover it up with money. We cover it up with drinking.
Quote I want to give before I leave, and this is just something I think I've received out of listening to love from the perspective of a broader, general perspective, when it comes to, hate. Love, because, that love, there is always a counterpart to anything that you have. There's always, a synonym or anonym, whatever. So love, to me, hate has never healed anyone, but love has. And
that's
when
true.
I think about that, I try to say, try love. Instead of hate, try love. and reap the benefits of what that feels like to love someone instead of hate them. Even if
Absolutely.
It's a situation where you feel like somebody done you wrong, try loving them beyond that situation and see how that turns out.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Y'all, this show is so powerful. Words cannot describe. Brother Z is Juan the Don in the building with Dodonna, Crown Knowledge Radio, Love Evolution. I just love saying Love Evolution. I appreciate you so much. Words cannot express how much I appreciate you being in the show with me tonight. I'm sorry. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I still hear you. Yeah.
Okay, we got Tina Marie playing in the background. These are the final seconds of the show. Brother Z, say goodnight to the people in the forum.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate you listening, and I hope I said something that was encouraging to you. And reach out to us on our webpage. We'd be glad to hear from you and connect with you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to Crown Knowledge Radio. I'm your host, Dodonna Raphia. And as always, I love you. I love you. I love you. And there is nothing you can do about it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.